Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to The Stage Right Side. I can't believe it's episode 46. That's crazy. I took a long break because I was traveling all summer doing shows and stuff. I'll fill you in. But you're back here on The Stage Right Side. Let's go.
This is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side.
I'm going to get right down to brass tacks here. And go way back to the end of Met season at Lincoln Center. Picture this, it's July. It's starting to get warm. I don't remember much other than it was a really grueling and fulfilling season, and I feel proud of what we achieved at the Met this year. I picked up some extra shows, which is always actually a treat because, you know, honestly, we have so few shows. So few performances during the year. Anytime I get to do something extra, it's hard, but I'm also grateful. So I picked up an extra Giselle, and I danced with Jillian, which was really cool. It was her last Giselle, and then I got to do Cassie's last Giselle in New York before she moved to Vienna to dance for the opera there. So that was freaking awesome. But I did two Giselle shows back to back, like on a Wednesday and a Thursday or something. And I thought I was going to die, but I made it through unscathed, relatively unscathed. And then I got to dance Jillian's retirement performance in Swan Lake, which was, I don't know. I don't really know how to, it meant a lot to me to be able to support her for that. And it was so beautiful, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. The audience was so generous and loving, and I don't know. It was definitely a career highlight for me from an experiential standpoint. I always feel like I can dance better pretty much every time I dance, but I am still proud of what we did out there. And I just love Jillian so much, and I'm going to miss dancing with her. I feel very fortunate to have done a lot with her over the past, whatever. It's almost like, God, what is it now? 13 years with ABT? Oh my God, that's crazy. So I'm just here alone today doing The Stage Right Side. And I feel like I'm still kind of figuring out the format with which I want to do this. Because I think I may have overextended myself with the video component of this. And I just don't have time to be like a full-time video blogger, and nor do I really want to. And this is something I've learned. So if you want your video podcasts, go watch Trixie and Katya, which I do recommend. but I think I'm going to stick to audio for a little bit until I have some more time on my hands, which I never will. So period. But I want to hear from y'all if you want to know anything specific about Met season or anything, really. Do drop a comment in, you know, if you're on Spotify or on podcasts or something, all right? I do read those, so let me know what you want to hear me talk about. Right after the Met season, I went to Vail, Colorado for, I think it was my 10th year at the Vail Dance Festival. And I had a gnarly cold after Met season. Like, my body somehow knows that it's done with performances in New York. It's like, okay, you made it through. Now you can crash. But what my body didn't realize was I had a bunch of shows in Vail as well. So I was in Vail, like, sniffling and snuffling, and it was pretty tough, but what a great place to be sniffling and snuffling up in the mountains. I danced Christopher Wheeldon's This Bitter Earth for the very first time. I got there, and I was like, why isn't Bitter Earth on the schedule? And I texted the coordinator. I texted Russell, and I was like, or he's the artistic associate, I believe, of the festival. And he was like, oh, we'll like get it to you. I was like, well, I need quite a bit of rehearsal. It's, you know, I haven't done it before. And they were shook. They assumed that I had been doing Bitter Earth, but in fact, I have not. I have done After the Rain quite a bit, but never Bitter Earth. So I got that together in about 5 days and did my debut there, and it was so beautiful. I mean, not my performance, but I loved doing it. You know, when you do something for the first time, I do feel like there's always, I want to do things for years, and that's how I start to feel like I might be getting it. You know, I might be understanding the assignment, but people seem to enjoy the performance, and I enjoyed doing it. So I hope I get to do that again. I danced with Isabella Boylston, Icon Cindy Magoo, and that was really beautiful. We had live music, which was awesome, and I got to do, what else did I do? Oh my God, my brain. Wow, it wasn't that long ago. Oh, I did a Cunningham piece called Signals, which I loved. I love Mel Toogood staged it, and she's freaking awesome. And Cunningham is something that I never like trained in that style at all. I didn't really do a lot of modern dance as a young person. I did pretty much everything else, like acrobatics and tap and jazz and lyrical and Argentine tango and flamenco and African dance and hip hop and like all sorts of things, like the American hodgepodge. And Cunningham eluded me. I even did Graham for a little bit. But Cunningham never was on the list. So every year now in Vail, I pretty much get to do a Cunningham piece. So I think this is like my fourth Cunningham, maybe. And I really, really enjoy it. And weirdly, I feel like it's sort of right up my alley. It requires a lot of sort of like quick thinking. And, you know, you have to like stay on your toes mentally and physically. And you have to sort of throw your body around in a way that I really relate to. And I think it's kind of good PT for me as well. Like a lot of the positions feel like I'm achieving like a different kind of strength. I really enjoy it. I did a world premiere by Robert Battle, and that was called Sounding Joy. And that was like, honestly, some of the most fun I've had creating a new ballet in ages. The group was crazy. It was like me, Bella Chun from City Ballet, Robbie Fairchild, Unity Phelan, Steph Terasaki, oh my God, I'm forgetting everybody. Yeah, it was a crazy cast that we were just giggling and having the best time, and Robert was really fun to work with, and he was so chill. It was really fun, and we had live music as well, and it was like a big band and everything. It was a party piece, and I think the audience really enjoyed it. You can watch that on YouTube, actually. It's part of the Now World Premieres program. So if you look up like Now Premieres Vail 2025 on YouTube, you'll be able to watch it. We're the last piece. And then I did one other thing. Oh, Spring Waters with Catherine Herlin, which I adore. I love that ballet. It really speaks to my, you know, my training as like a young partner work queen. My dance teachers had an adagio act that they toured like all over the world with. An adagio act is basically like an acrobatic partner work act. And they were awesome. Their names are Angela DeValda and Steve Sirico, and they still teach in Connecticut, where I started. And Vail was great. It was really hard. It's always way harder than I think it's going to be. Like, I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be like a vacation. Lies. It's like you're rehearsing all day. You're performing at 11,000 feet. and as you're doing things you've never done before. It's very fulfilling, but it's like another season on top of Met season. And I, for whatever, 10 years now, I keep forgetting that I have to do another season after I finish my season. And I would have it no other way. And then, oh my gosh. And then I had a little break. It was really a slay, actually. I got to go to Provincetown with one of my best friends. And we were there just for like 2 days. It was great. It was so relaxing. Went to the beach, hung out at the P-Town pool. Gay, 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 gay. Super gay. And I just love P-Town. The weather was fierce. We slayed with that. And then right after P-Town, one of my best friends from Boston Ballet got married. So Leah Sirio and I were sort of like kids in Boston Ballet together, and we danced a lot together. And she's still there as a principal dancer. And she married principal dancer Paul Craig there as well at Boston Ballet. And so they got married on the Cape, and I went, and it was so beautiful, and it was a great wedding, so much fun. And I got to see a lot of my Boston girlies that I hadn't seen in a long time. And like, I don't know, reuniting with people from like your 20s, it's kind of wild. You're like, because, you know, I had my 41st birthday this year in July. I'm a Leo, of course, naturally. And I don't know, I just feel so much has happened since I started dancing professionally at 18 in Boston Ballet. And I feel like I almost don't even remember what the hell happened. I'm just so present. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, the wedding was absolutely beautiful. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, my family, it's very confusing. My mom and dad divorced when I was 2. So I have a sort of jaded view of marriage. My dad has been divorced twice and is currently engaged to an amazing woman. And my mom was married and divorced 3 times. So I'm sorry. I'm a little jaded on the whole thing. With that being said, all my siblings, none of them have been divorced. They're all married, my older siblings at least, which I find really interesting. It's like everyone is just desperate not to be their parents or something. And so, yeah, I'm out here not getting married, and my siblings are staunchly, loyally married. So, you know, never say never, but I don't believe it's in the cards for me. Stay tuned. With that, I just also want to tell you about Mexico City. But I think before I tell you about where, like, I went and staged one of my ballets for the Compañía Nacional de Danza de México, and I got to practice my Spanish. But let's take a break, and I'll come back and tell you about Mexico City. All right, BRB.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
And we're back on the Stage Right Side. I want to tell you about Mexico City. So a couple of years ago, Aaron Bell and Skylar Brandt did a gig down in Mexico City, and they brought the first movement of New American Romance. Let me explain. Let me give you a little backstory. So New American Romance was commissioned by ABT under Kevin McKenzie by me, or for me, whatever, you know what I mean. I choreographed the dance, damn it. And it was slated to premiere at Vail Dance Festival when the full company went on tour there in 2019. It premiered on my birthday at Vail Dance Festival in 2019. Kevin loved it and programmed it on the fall season of that year, 2019. We did it at the Koch Theater, and since then, nobody has done it other than ABT. ABT did it again for a festival at Rockefeller Center or something, but nobody else has ever done it. So when Aaron and Skylar went down to Mexico and did this pas de deux, they loved it, which made me feel great, obviously, duh. And Elisa Carrillo Cabrera, who's a big, famous ballerina from Mexico, and she dances in Berlin, but she was like, I want to program this ballet. She is the artistic, like adjunct or like co-artistic director of the Compañía Nacional de Danza de México. That's a mouthful. And for ever since she saw that, she wrote to me and she was like, hey, will you come and dance this with Skylar for one of my shows at the National Theater? And so I went. It was the first thing I did after my knee surgery. So it was 2022. It had been about like 10 months since I blew out my patellar tendon. And I think I came back and did whipped cream. And then right after that, flew to Mexico City with Skylar. And then we did the first movement of New American Romance, which is set to Sweet Bergamasque by Claude Debussy. And I remember being terrified to dance because my knee like fully didn't work, but you know, whatever. And after that, she was like, I really love this. I'd love to find a way for it to come back. And, you know, so when she became the co-artistic director of the company in Mexico City, she goes like, I have to program this. We're doing an international choreographer evening. So it was just the first movement and without the rest of the dancers. So it's essentially just a pas de deux in this excerpted form. And so my old friend from Boston Ballet, who went on later to join Miami City Ballet, his name is Michael Breeden. He went down and staged it along Agustina Galizzi, I think is how you pronounce her name. And they did a fantastic job. And I just went like 10 days before the premiere and coached the dancers. And it's a huge company. I had no idea how many people were dancing for that company. And they worked really hard. And the pas de deux is pretty savage, I must confess. Like, I made it on Aaron Bell and Catherine Herlin, who are just, I mean, like beasts, technical beasts, I feel like is a compliment. Maybe, I hope. They're just, I threw a lot of really outrageous moves at them. And I wanted to sort of honor the adagio act of my childhood with my teachers. So I did a lot of the moves they taught me. You know, I'll post something about it. You'll see eventually. But those of you who have seen the ballet know that there's a lot of like flippity doodahs and pyrotechnical elements mixed with this sort of like romantic classical style. Like all the women are in romantic tutus and the men are in tights and not tunics, like blousy poet shirts. And I was really scared to have it taught to other people just because I want everyone to be safe. But I showed up and they knew it and they had been rehearsing it and they looked freaking awesome and they worked their asses off to do all the weird little things that I asked them to do, the sort of, I guess you'd say stylistic choices that I made when making the dance. It's quirky and I don't know, I'm really proud of this ballet. I think when Kevin asked me to make a ballet, I was trained at essentially a jazz tap and ballet school. So I like making dances in a variety of styles. And I knew that in making a ballet for ABT, I'd have to sort of lean on classicism to hopefully get people to accept me as a choreographer. And I am hyper aware also of how people know me from the internet. I am irreverent. I am fun and have a sense of humor. And, you know, you can call it cringe. You can call it cool. That's fine by me. But I knew I sort of had to play it to the judge a little bit, if that makes sense. When I look back at it, I'm like, I didn't play it to the judge at all. It's completely cuckoo. And the only thing classical about it are the costumes. So, you know, take that and shove it up your butt or whatever. All that being said, I really want to see ABT do this ballet again or other companies because I think it's actually good. So I'm proud of this and want to see it done again. I am hopeful that the company in Mexico will do it at the full ballet. I don't know. I had a wonderful time there exploring the city and with my friend Michael Breeden. We were just having a great time and really just like enjoying the culture of the city. The food was fantastic. I unfortunately did get sick towards the end of the trip, and that was pretty grim. But the premiere was gorgeous. I made it to the theater for the premiere, thankfully. And the dancers did a fantastic job. And then I flew out the next morning and started ABT's fall season rehearsals. So this fall, you have the following to look forward to. It's going to be a really jam-packed season. It's very ambitious programming-wise. There's a lot of really tough stuff on the program. And the three ballets I'm doing are all quite difficult as well. I'm doing Alexei Romansky's Neo, which some of you may have seen last year. It's in the red costumes with the live shamisen player, music by Dai Fujikura, and played by Sumie Kaneko live on stage. She's freaking awesome. And I danced that with Bella this year. She's in 1,000 other ballets, unfortunately, so she won't be dancing that ballet with me, but I'll have other partners. Stay tuned. I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it yet. So I'll be doing that one, which is like one of the hardest things ever. And then I'm also doing Rotmansky's Symposium, which was also created on me in, I don't know, 2016 or something. So, you know, I love Rotmansky. I drank the Kool-Aid from day one. I have done so many of his ballets. I am flexing here because it's worth a flex. And I'm doing two of my favorites on this program, Neo and Symposium, both of which I had the great pleasure of originating, my role, rather. And the third ballet I'm doing is Twyla Tharp's Bach Partita, which is like just absolutely gorgeous. It's one of my favorite Twyla pieces, and it hadn't been done in like 30 years or something, and I got to dance the sort of like original redo cast. It was me and Polina Semyonova, who is just out of this world beautiful. And I'm dancing this time with Chloe Misseldine, whom I have never danced with before, and we're having a great time in rehearsal. So I urge you all to get tickets to come see us dance. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm 41 years old. I can't say I'm going to be doing this for 100 more years. You know, I'm not thinking about retiring, but I also want y'all to come see us and see me. You know, I've got a couple years, hopefully, but you know, period. Just putting that out there. So come see me and say hi at the stage door or whatever. I always love to meet dance fans and listeners of the Stage Right Side. And I'm just so happy to be back in New York. Honestly, I was like kind of burnt out on dancing, and I had a rest. I went to Portland, Oregon for a little vacation, went swimming, hiking, shopping, eating. It was so beautiful. I loved it. I had a freaking awesome time. And yeah, I'm happy to be back. That being said, I did have jury duty today, and I wish you could schedule jury duty, because every year they're like, all right, you have to come during fall season. I'm like, okay, so if I get assigned to a case, like, I'm just going to not rehearse and take class for 3 weeks and then hopefully be done by the time the performances happen? Like, no. So I keep having to postpone my service or whatever. And today they were like, you've postponed before, you have to do it. And I was like, this physically endangers me when I go back to work if I'm not able to rehearse and take class. And they were like, ugh, like, diva. I was like, no, that's just what it is. Like, if I'm going to go back to work, I have to be able to work in a way that is safe for my body. And they were like, we'll let you postpone it one more time. Like, when do you want to postpone it until? And I was like, can I pick a week? Because, you know, I have like weeks off here and there, but I I know this is like completely, it is my civic duty. I acknowledge this, but it would behoove the state if I could pick a week where I could like truly serve on the frickin' jury. Now I go and I'm like, well, not really, you know, like, sorry, I gotta go do ballet. And they're like, who are you, bitch? What? So today they were like, okay, you can come back in August 2026. And so I'm like, okay, I might be able to, but, you know, I would really be, like, a lot of people are like, yes, I get to go to jury duty and, like, be on my phone for a week. But I don't want to do that. It's not a vacation for me. It endangers my physical well-being and stresses me out, damn it. Oh, can't AI do it? Seriously? Like, we're not impartial. We're bitches. We're like the whole... I showed up and they showed this whole video on like how not to be a little bitch. It's like, don't be horrible. Don't do all these things that are just bred into us by society, which they ought to do. I'm saying this out of understanding and frustration. I'm like, can AI be an impartial juror? I feel like this is a good use of AI. Anybody? Back me up, girls. So, jury duty today was a smash. Okay, reading, watching, listening. I'm currently reading The Age of Innocence, that Gilded Age novel. It's like a romance / satire, I'd say. I know nothing about it other than Bella was like, you're going to love this. So, here I am. I'm reading it, and true to form, she was correct. And I love it. If you've watched The Gilded Age, I feel like The Gilded Age stole so much from that book. It's crazy. It should say it's based on that book. Maybe it does somewhere and I didn't know that. But really recommend The Gilded Age on HBO, and then Age of Innocence. I think it's Edith Wharton. It's hard. When you have a Kindle, it just doesn't tell you what you're reading. It just like opens to the page you're on and it doesn't say anything. Maybe there's a setting where I can have it say the title of the book and the author on every page, like a regular book. But that's where I'm at. I'm watching Alien Earth. I love a sci-fi moment. It's an FX show based on the sort of, you know, alien movies from the 70s and 80s. And I guess they're still making them. Ridley Scott movie, Alien, fantastic. Sigourney Weaver, heaven. This TV show, I'm enjoying it. It's not rocket science, but it is quite chic. They've styled it well, considering how expensive these things can be. And I'm always impressed at the sort of practical effects and set design and costuming. I'm enjoying it. I'm a big sci-fi fan. So if you like sci-fi, get into it. You might enjoy it. It's scary without being like, I can't sleep. Listening. Oh my gosh. I don't know what I'm listening to. I think I quite like the Doja Cat song. It's called Jealous Type. It's produced by Jack Antonoff, who has worked with pretty much everybody at this point. And I feel like I've listened to Sabrina Carpenter's album, that came out like a week or two ago, produced by Jack Antonoff as well. And sometimes I feel like Jack Antonoff puts the people he works for in like him drag or like Bleachers drag. Bleachers was the band he was in. And I don't care for that. But then I think with some artists, he gets like excited or inspired, and, or they push him to think outside of his own style. And I feel like this Doja Cat song is a great example of that. And it's 80s tinge, but it's clearly made now. It just sounds modern. And I like it. It's weird. It's great. I'm into it. It's a bop. And if I heard it out at a party or at a club, I'd be throwing ass. Thank you very much. What else am I listening to? I don't know. Let's stop there. That was good. You know, this was a real chill first episode back of the Stage Right Side. I hope you're all good. Leave some comments. Tell your friends to get some tickets to come see ABT. Come see me dance. I want to see you all at the theater. And, you know, maybe one of these days I'll have someone on to talk to me about the Kennedy Center, because we're slated to perform at the Kennedy Center this year, and I am... I don't know what to say, honestly. I'm so sickened by this administration, and I am really conflicted. Super conflicted. We're scheduled to do A Winter's Tale, the Wheeldon full-length ballet. And, I just wonder, you know? So more on that. I'd love to, like, open that discourse to all of you, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. What are our responsibilities as artists? I feel like, personally, I believe art is political, and I think it is inherently political, and I think good art takes a brave stance. And I think the moment we sort of like wash away the meaning and do nothing, that doesn't work for me as a person or an artist. So I'm struggling with what to do here. I don't really have a choice. You know, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, I don't want to dance there for that fucker. But, you know, I'm not the director, you know? So I'd love to hear all your thoughts, like what in reality can be done here? What is the thing to do? All right, that's my time. My computer's telling me to stop. LOL. All right, love you all. See you next time on the Stage Right Side. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.